Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. So I hope you're all waking up and listening to us. This is Lori Hoyt, your host. And Wilp stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we are so happy to be here on WCOM FM. And our guest today is Sue Dayton, who is a statewide coordinator with the Blue Ridge Environmental Defense League and also North Carolina Healthy Communities. And she's here to tell us some stuff we probably are not going to be happy to hear, but we need to hear. And there's ways to do something about it, not just sit there and get depressed. So, Sue, good morning.
Good morning, Lori. Thank you for having me on this morning.
We're glad to have you. Sue has been to one of our WILF meetings, and we were so impressed by the information she gave us. We felt that this would be good to get out to the whole community. And, Sue, where do we want to start? This new thing you brought in about Stericycle, and the other big thing that you work on is the campaign to phase out toxic dry cleaning solvents. So we start
That's
with
right.
Stericycle.
Sure, sure. Any place you'd like, Laurie.
Okay.
We have lots of, we're working on lots of projects here.
Yes, I'm impressed. Well, why don't you start telling us about Stericycle, what that does and what it is.
You bet, Laurie. Thank you. Stericycle is the largest medical waste treatment company in the United States. They've got last year in 2009, their revenue was $1.18 billion. Mm-hmm. It's a medical, as I said, it's a medical waste incinerator. And actually, there are two. It's located in Haw River, just east of Burlington. And if you drive by, if you're on Interstate I-40, you can see the smokestacks. They are visible from the highway. And the incinerator is located right in a sort of a rural residential community, and it's less than a half a mile from Alamance Community College.
Well, how is it they have two incinerators, and why did they put two? That's why it's horrible what it is, but then to have two in one small community.
They do.
Is this waste from all over the country?
This is, the incinerator takes waste. You're absolutely right. The incinerator takes waste from over 20 states.
Oh my God!
And their permit allows them to burn 33.4 more than 33.5 million pounds of waste per year. In 2008-2009, Stericycle burned over 26 million pounds of medical waste. And medical waste, as you know, we all are generators of medical waste. Every time you go to the hospital or to, you know, even a doctor's office, there's waste that is generated, and from surgeries, and not only from hospitals, but veterinary clinics, sometimes agricultural, even agricultural waste, they're allowed to burn. And the waste must be properly treated because some waste contains pathogens, and it is infectious. And so one of the ways to dispose of it is incineration. And the problem is that while Stericycle does have a permit from the state of North Carolina to burn this medical waste, there are tens of thousands of pounds of toxic air pollutants that are released. We don't have the technology that can, you know, eliminate all the emissions from these medical waste incinerators. And unfortunately, these toxic chemicals are released into the air. And some of these chemicals are very concerning. They cause cancer and many other illnesses. Mercury, dioxins, furans, lead, cadmium, and particulate matter. And they're a great health concern, and especially to nearby communities. And these air pollutants, they know no boundaries. They can travel great distances. And just for all you folks that are in Orange County, as a crow flies, Stericycle is less than 5 miles from the Orange County border. So I believe that this incinerator obviously can affect residents of Alamance County, certainly the residents of Haw River, and in those communities, even, you know, that are situated closer to the incinerator, and then as far out as Orange and Chatham. And, of course, these toxic air pollutants that are released from this medical waste incinerator also have the ability to affect our wildlife, our rivers, lakes, and streams, because many of these contaminants settle on the water and soil, where they, you know, cling, and they, you know, cause cancer and deformities in fish, and it's a real concern.
That, you know, when you think of the enormity of damage that this does, I mean, with traveling on the air, with the wind, you know, you're right, there's no boundaries. We're all downriver, we're all downstream in the air, from that air coming. And it's particularly scary to not only the soil, but our water.
That's right. That's right.
To get into the little streams and lakes and rivers and stuff. This
is, and you know, the irony of it all is that we don't have to incinerate. You know, obviously, Stericycle makes billions of dollars, and the CEO does not live in Haw River. I mean, he lives far, you know, in another state. He lives, you know, pretty far away from the incinerator. So he and, you know, his wife and children don't have to breathe in these toxic chemicals.
And
yeah, we think it's very unfair that we have to take the waste. We have to bear the burden of all of this medical waste coming into our county and into our region, while this person at Stericycle makes billions of dollars, and especially when there are safer methods to dispose of the waste.
Yeah. What are the alternatives to incineration? Something's got to be done with the waste. We know that.
Yep.
But so what are the alternatives?
There's a process called autoclaving, and what autoclaving is, it's a process that sterilizes the waste using heat and steam, and this is a method that's approved by the state of North Carolina. And by the way, Stericycle does operate autoclaves in other communities. So we would like to see Stericycle make the switch from incineration that poisons communities in our air and water to a non-incineration method where you're not going to be poisoning people, and they absolutely have the ability to do this. And if they were a responsible neighbor, and they cared about the health of public health and the environment, they would make the switch, because obviously they have the wherewithal, they have the revenue, they have the money. I mean, they're a multi-billion-dollar company, and so this is what we're up against. But I can tell you that times are changing, and the EPA in October 2009 promulgated new rules that set stricter standards for air pollutants from medical waste incinerators. And medical waste incinerators, these are all existing medical waste incinerators all over the country, which there are about 57 left. And they have to comply with these new standards by 2014. Now, this is somewhat of a predicament, because we know right now that there are toxic air pollutants being generated by Stericycle over these new standards. I can tell you that lead and cadmium right now are over the new EPA standards. And in 2008, there was a stack test of mercury emissions. And that stack test measured mercury being released into the air close to 30 times over the new EPA standards. So we have a window here that's being completely not covered by these new rules. And there will be we hope, a public hearing where citizens can voice their concerns about this. But what we need are letters from the public requesting the hearing.
Before we give that, let's just give people a chance, which I meant to do at the very beginning. Of all of our programs, please have pencil or pen and paper ready, because with all the information we give you, we always try to let you know how you can get further information or something you can do about it, because there's no sense just sitting there feeling, oh my gosh, ain't that awful. You know, but get a pencil and paper ready, and we're going to tell you something that you can do about this situation. And I'm particularly horrified because of a family member. Daughter just bought a house in Graham, which is very close to Haw River. And another family member, her daughter actually, wanted to be close to her mother, and was one of the places she was looking, or is Haw River. And the fact that there are two incinerators is like... get your pencil and paper, but one thing I want to ask, you're saying that they have a permit from the state of North Carolina. Does the town of Haw River have anything to say about them being there? Does the town know what they're doing? Do they allow it?
The town should know about it. Uh-huh. It's interesting because actually the incinerator is permitted by the state. It's legally permitted. And for all intents and purposes, at this time, the incinerator is under compliance. However, as I said, with these new rules coming in, mm-hmm. The air emissions are clearly mm-hmm. Not in compliance with the new rules. Mm-hmm. And these emissions have now been deemed unsafe by the EPA, mm-hmm. and they're putting out unsafe emissions. Mm-hmm. It's our experience when we're out in the community talking with people that not a lot of people even know that the incinerator's there. That's because of where it's located.
Yeah, it's sort of hidden away a little bit, except you can see the plume of smoke and just say, oh, look at that. You know,
right.
Yeah, I wonder if we could almost flyleaf everybody in town, got a whole crew of volunteers to get them to this meeting, which we're now going to tell you about. Okay, pen and paper, I think, are ready. Sue, tell them what's needed here, how they can help.
If all you listeners out there...
How we can help.
Yes, all you listeners in Radioland can help by writing a letter requesting a public hearing on Stericycle's... it's called a Title V permit. And Stericycle is looking to have their permit reviewed so they can, you know, continue to emit... these levels of toxic air pollutants into the air that we breathe that are contaminating our health and our soils, as you said, Lori, and our water, our lakes, rivers, and streams. We would like the public's voice to be known on this. We would like to hear from the public and what your concerns are. And the only way we're going to do this is if the state has a public hearing on this. And we have a deadline of March 10th to get our letters in requesting a hearing.
Today is what, the 5th?
Today's the 5th, so we have...
Do it.
Get your letter in. I can give you the address and an email.
Okay.
I mean, it's very easy to write a quick email. And would you like me to go ahead and read that?
Yes,
off?
Please
okay.
do.
You should address your letters... to, and I will spell it, Mr. Gautam Patnick, and that's Gautam Patnick, is Patnaik, Division of Water Quality.
Air Quality.
Sorry, Division of Air Quality. Thank you, Lori. 1641 Mail Service Center, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27699-1641. Now, if you have access to a computer, you can also email him.
Okay.
And that email is, I'll say it and then I'll spell it out, gautam.patnick@ncdener.gov. And that's gautam.patnick, Patnaik, at ncdener.gov. And we would like you to, if you would, just take a minute and email Mr. Patnick a letter requesting a public hearing. There's many reasons to have a public hearing. Voice your concerns.
And it's about the Stericycle.
Absolutely.
Title
5 permit renewal.
Yeah, operation permit renewal.
That's right.
And maybe while we're having the pen and paper already, maybe you could also say if people want more information about the Stericycle awareness campaign that you're working on, how they can get more information and give them your website. Or
you bet. Yeah. To get more information about the Stericycle awareness campaign, you can call my office. My number is 336-525-2003.
This is Sue Dayton.
Sue Dayton, right.
Her name. You can call her office.
I'm very happy to answer any questions that you might have. Or you can go to our website, and that website is www.beredl.org. And you can punch in Stericycle Awareness Campaign, and it'll bring you up to our Stericycle Awareness Campaign page. There's a very nice video that you can watch about Stericycle and about medical waste incinerations in general on the website, and get all your information. And also, you know, we have information on where to send your letter. That's also on the website. And
so tell the website again. Is the website different from what's on this paper, with the medwaste.org?
Actually, that's the direct link, Lori, if you'd like to read that.
Yeah, okay, so they could just do that?
They could just go, to our main website or the website that Lori has here.
Okay, so this is specific about this campaign. It's www.beredl-medwaste.org. But you're saying your main website, which would give further information. Why don't you give that again?
Right. And once again, the organization's website, where you can find this information by plugging in the word Stericycle or Stericycle Awareness Campaign, I gave this because it's quite a bit easier to get to than that one.
Okay.
I mean, it's in terms of just writing everything down.
Okay.
And that is www.beredl.org.
Okay. Well, at this point, so this is such wonderful information. And I think that, I'm particularly personally interested because of my daughter and her health. I think that, as you say, there's no boundaries to air. And what with the soil and the animals and the getting into the water supply, all of it. So this affects all of us. But we're going to take a station break right now. Dick Paddock is our engineer. I forgot to mention his name. And he is there and the one that keeps us on the air every Friday and also does our newsletter. And we have an underwriter that we're very proud of, Internationalist Bookstore. It's on 405 West Franklin Street. And I think those of you who've been around a while know that this is a community institution. It's run by volunteers. It's been here for decades. But for newcomers, I urge you to go and check it out. It's small, but it's got books that you're not going to find in the big bookstores. And also, it's a community resource center. You find out a lot of what's going on in the progressive world. And if you want more information without going down to Franklin Street right now, you can go to internationalistbooks.org. And again, we're trying to let everybody know and tell your friends that you can stream us live. Particularly if you're having difficulty getting us in, this is a low power station. You can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. It's really easy, so please do. And this is Wilp's Wake Up Call, and we want you to go to our website and find out all of what we're doing. We're celebrating our 75th birthday this year, 75th years of being in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, in the Triangle. And we're very proud of that. That means that this was started, Charlotte Adams, who has just not too long ago passed at age 103 or 104, intrepid little woman, but with a big effect on the world, and started Wilp in 1935 here in the Deep South, a pretty radical organization. And so we have a great history, which you'll be hearing more about on this radio show and all the things we're going to be doing this year. So, TriangleWilp.org. That's our website. And also on our website, you can link to all of our previous radio shows, which are things that are really, really interesting, but are timely. I mean, these are issues that are ongoing. Okay. Now, back to our guest, Sue Dayton, who we are so delighted that she came from Saxapaw today.
Thanks.
Beautiful.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
And so we've been talking about one huge problem that was kind of new to me and very troubling to me about medical waste, two incinerators in Haw River that we're going to try to do something about. But now you also have another important campaign, and this is what I first heard about from you.
Right.
And this is about dry cleaning solvents. Tell us a little bit about that, Sue. Or a lot about it.
Well, goodness, where do I start? Well, I think all of us grew up, I know I did when I was a kid, in Olean, New York. And I grew up kind of a poor to middle class family, and we would on occasion get our clothing dry cleaned, and it was at that time sort of a high class thing to do, you know, to get your clothes professionally dry cleaned. But what we've learned about dry cleaning is that it's actually very poisonous to our health. And one of the primary chemicals used to dry clean is a chlorinated solvent called perchloroethylene, or PERC for short, or PCE even, and I'll just call it PERC for the purposes of our interview today, PERC. Mm-hmm. And PERC, over the years, there's been a lot of research into it, and it is found to cause cancer and other illnesses, kidney liver damage, birth defects,
wow.
quite a number of adverse health conditions mm-hmm. have been linked to PERC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because dry cleaners continue to use this. And I've even, as I understand it, I was talking to a reporter the other day that interviewed a dry cleaner, a local dry cleaner, and the dry cleaner told her that they didn't believe the EPA and the National Academy of Sciences that PERC causes cancer.
Mm.
Some states like California and New Jersey are phasing PERC out because they know that it's very toxic to people.
So the dry cleaner is there. There's something else that they can use.
Just like medical waste incinerators, that's right. There are alternatives. There's a long list of alternatives. I won't go into the entire list right now because there are green cleaners out here,
mm-hmm.
and I think you may have some right here in your own area, Hill, and here in Chapel Hill and Carborough.
Mm-hmm.
But be sure to ask your dry cleaner what they use to clean the clothing with. And usually the quote, green cleaners advertise the fact that they do not use perchloroethylene.
Okay.
We have a huge problem with this because we're seeing that a lot of the dry cleaners that have used PERC and continue to use PERC, these sites are highly contaminated with perchloroethylene in that have, they've leaked, you know, PERC has been found in the groundwater underneath these sites and in plumes moving anywhere from, you know, a few feet to thousands of feet. PERC has contaminated communities. In fact, we're working with a community right now in Durham that's been at least two houses have been impacted in a neighborhood.
I heard about that.
Yeah, the PERC has entered the groundwater and moved in a groundwater plume hundreds of yards and gone underneath the houses, and PERC has the ability to move up, you know, through the ground surface and through the walls and the floors of buildings and houses and affect the indoor airspace. And two houses, we know of at least two houses in Durham, the occupants were breathing toxic PERC vapors unbeknownst to them. And this horrendous chemical has contaminated wells, drinking water supplies.
How did they find out? Did they finally start getting sick?
No, actually, the state, through the years, more and more of these sites have been discovered.
Okay.
And in fact, the state estimates there are close to 2,000 of these contaminated dry cleaning sites in the state of North Carolina.
And we have how many right here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro?
13.
Because one of them is on my street. And the dry cleaner was next door to my house, the complex I live in. And when they left, I went to put an office building, and the state had to dig up all the dirt around there. And now they're testing the water rights, you know, into the communities. They're putting test wells down. And it's been a huge thing. They still come and check the groundwater through these sites. And so that is...
Well, the very unfortunate thing about this perchloroethylene contamination is that the sites never get fully cleaned up. And it's once the PERC gets into the groundwater, it's extremely difficult to remediate or lessen the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs millions of dollars. Right now, there's a program run by the state. It's called the Dry Cleaning Solvent Cleanup Program, or DISCA is the acronym for it. And the money to clean up PERC comes from the general fund, from tax on dry cleaning solvents and on dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
However, this money is not going to go on forever, and that's another concern. You know, what are we going to do when this money runs out? There's thousands of these sites to be cleaned up, and our concern is that...
Well, the big concern is not only what's happened in the past when maybe people didn't quite realize, but this is an ongoing. They're still allowing it.
It is. They're still allowing it. That's right.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And let me add to that there's hazardous waste generated from this. This stuff doesn't just disappear after you get done using it.
Mm-hmm.
PERC is a hazardous waste. It needs to, after the dry cleaners use it, it becomes like a sludge material. It's hazardous waste. It has to be shipped out. It has to be shipped out, and guess where it's taken?
Where?
To an incinerator. Not in the state of North Carolina, because we don't allow incineration of hazardous waste, but it goes to some other poor community where it's incinerated, and that community has to breathe in the vapors, you know, the air toxics from the PERC. And so this continues on. It's continuing on. And PERC, absolutely, there needs to be a ban on this substance.
We have 1 minute, and I guess we're going to have Sue back again, because it's, you know, there's just so much to take in. And if you could tell people where to go, this is kind of a... should they just go to you?
Yeah, if you'd like to find out about our campaign to phase PERC out now campaign, please... You may call me. I'm at 336-525-2003, or you can email me at sdayton, that's S-D-A-Y-T-O-N, at swcp.com. We would love to come out to your community. We have a PowerPoint presentation available to give. We can talk to you, answer your questions and concerns, and you can help us with our Phase Out PERC Now campaign. We'd love to have you join us.
Okay, well, this is wrapping up again. Our shows are so packed with information. Certainly should be waking you up and getting your brain cells going, you know, how to make this a better world. And we're all connected. The air, all of it's connected, and we've got to learn how to protect it. Thank you, and we'll be here next Friday.
Thank you, Lori, for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
No, this has been...
I'm honored. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.